Welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me now on the phone, Dr. Fred Mettler, who is a professor at the University of New Mexico. He's also the U.S. representative to the United Nations for radiation and effects and was the radiologist who led an international study of health effects after the 1986 Chernobyl disaster. Good evening, Doctor. How are you?
Fine, and you?
Very well. Wanted to come to someone who actually could explain to us and either allay fears or tell us if we're not being alarmists. When we've heard, of course, the tragedy in Japan and everything happening with the nuclear plants there, and we're now hearing in the United States that people are out buying potassium iodide pills and so forth, and I just kind of wanted to get the lay of the land on what is a appropriate response at this point in time and if we should be concerned and what that level should be. For the folks in Japan, what is your take on what's happening there now and health concerns for them?
Well, the health concerns are obviously related to level of dose, and radiation doses around the plant in some areas are pretty high. But off-site at this point, they haven't been very high at all. The Japanese are monitoring them. They haven't released too much, but we have heard what doses are in Tokyo and at some of our bases, and they're not significantly elevated to really warrant much other than watching them at this point.
And so when we hear that people, you know, here in the United States, some on the West Coast, but I was even hearing that Michigan, for some reason, a lot of folks were kind of making a run on these iodide pills. Is that just us getting ahead of the curve here?
I think it's pretty far ahead of the curve, actually.
Yeah, okay.
First of all, there's been a bunch of misinformation from the media. I saw an article yesterday that talked about the acute radiation syndrome, which, you know, if you get incredibly high doses working in the reactor, you can get. And then it says this is treated with potassium iodide, which is ridiculous. I mean, potassium iodide, the only thing it does is keep radioactive iodine from getting into your thyroid glands. The point of that is to keep from getting thyroid cancer years later. And we know from Chernobyl that the people who got thyroid cancer later were those who were infants or children or adolescents when they were exposed. The people who are older, we haven't seen an increase in thyroid cancer. We don't quite understand why. But so, first of all, if you're going to give potassium iodide, you would only pretty much give it to kids and adolescents. The second issue is that if you give it 3 days ahead of time, it has absolutely no effect at all. And if you give it 12 hours after exposure, it has very little effect. So we would have plenty of information about whether radioactive iodine was headed our way. And it has a pretty short half-life, and it'll be dispersed in the atmosphere. Atmospheric release at Chernobyl was not how the children really got their doses. It was because there was a cow in the backyard, and the cow was eating grass that was contaminated with iodine, and the kids were drinking the milk. So really, the whole point of it is you control the food chain. And I see no reason to go out and get potassium iodide at this point.
And we have heard people, and again, with the 24-hour news cycles that we all have now or have, you know, exposure to if we turn them on, we've heard people saying Chernobyl and so forth. But this isn't like Chernobyl. I mean, there are distinct differences about having to do with a containment vessel, for one. Is that correct?
There are certainly major design differences, and Chernobyl was essentially open to the environment, and it had graphite in it that started burning, so they had a nice carbon fire going with soot going straight up into the air. But there's no question that there's core damage at a number of the reactors in Japan, and it's a very serious situation, and they obviously have released some radioactive materials at this point. And the ones that get released early are typically radioactive iodine and noble gases and some cesium sometimes. But things like plutonium and uranium are heavy, and they tend to stay there. Even at Chernobyl, those things didn't get off-site very far. So I don't think that, first of all, the other thing that happens is the longer the reactors sit there, the less activity there is in them. And I think the danger will go down over time and the releases will go down. But I think these are going to fizzle along for weeks yet, maybe months.
No, I did hear this morning that, for instance, military folks, United States military folks who are in the area were being told to keep a certain distance away and so forth. These are all just precautionary to try to keep people as safe as possible. Is that correct?
Yes. What you're trying to do is prevent exposure, radiation exposure, because once you've been exposed to radiation, there's nothing really much we can do to, if you will, reduce the risk of cancer later. I mean, if you've been exposed to any kind of radiation and there's maybe some risk with it, and we had something that would make the risk go away, we'd be giving it to you after CT scans maybe. But we don't have any such thing. So there's no question that by protecting people through shelter and through evacuation and things like that, that can be thousands of times more effective than trying to treat something after the fact.
And in an article that I did read earlier today that had some information about this that you were quoted in, and I found it interesting about how radioactive particles, the discussion about that, and I found out, frankly, how much I don't know about radiation and particles. The fallout part that was interesting to me, you talked about perhaps when you come around a corner, a rate can be high, but if you're behind something solid, the dose can be lower.
Sure. The way you protect yourself from radiation, the typical ones are time, distance, and shielding. So if there's a dose rate out there of a certain amount of radiation per hour, the less time you spend near that thing, the less radiation dose you're going to get. And then the further away you get from it, the dose goes down very quickly. And if you can put something between you and the source, like your concrete block wall, you will also get less dose.
Now, and another part of the article I found interesting is how much people get anyway. People just out and about, if the numbers are correct, get about 3/10 of a rem of each year of radiation just from the environment. And a rem is obviously a unit of measure.
Right. Well, the last survey we did in the United States that was published for 2006 showed you got about the U.S. population on the average gets about 3/10 of a rem from natural background and an equal amount from medical exposures. The people living in the contaminated villages over time, over the last 20 years around Chernobyl, have basically gotten about 3 years' worth of natural background radiation that they wouldn't have otherwise.
Well, is there an antidote once there is radioactive fallout? Is it just the potassium iodide is our best case?
Well, potassium iodide, again, is only going to work for...
In the immediate.
It's only going to work in the immediate. It is only going to work for radioactive iodine. Radioiodine in the air will disperse very quickly coming across the ocean. And it also decays quickly. So every 8 days, there's only half of it left. And basically, after 80 days, there's none left. As far as other fallout, like cesium, which has a half-life of 30 years, basically what you have to do with that is try to either keep the people away from it or try to figure out how to clean it up. And there are various ways of doing that. But and sometimes it gets in the soil and in the food, and obviously you just keep track of the food chain, and if things are too high, you deal with it in different ways.
Well, Doctor, I appreciate very much you taking the time this afternoon. I know you've been very busy and very popular on the phones, so I appreciate you helping us kind of walk through this process. Thank you very much.
Well, yeah, okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Dr. Fred Mettler, who is a professor at the University of New Mexico. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.